Welcome to Tauri Mecha, Na'af Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Yecheskel, Perek Chavtet, Chapter 29. The words of our Perek were spoken on the 12th of Tevet in the 10th year of Galut Yechaniah. A year ago, almost to the day, on the 10th of Tevet, the king of Bavel placed Yerushalayim under siege. And now, in Perek Chavtet, as the siege is getting more unbearable, we hear about Mitzrayim's future demise. Ours is the first in a series of seven nevuot about the future of Mitzrayim. So let's orient ourselves a little bit about what's been going on with Mitzrayim in the time period leading up to this. Mitzrayim, weakened by Ashur, the nation that exiled the 10 tribes, hopes to regain her prominence of yesteryear. And to that end, she gathers small regional powers, such as Malchut Yehuda, to help her oppose the soon-to-be superpower, Bavel. These smaller nations were all too happy to ally with Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim seemed dependable. Seemed like she could deliver on her promises to ward off the enemy. Mitzrayim promised big, and Yehuda trusted in their alliance. To get a sense of this, let's read a couple psukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu in Perek Lamed Zayin, where Yirmiyahu relates that the Babylonian armies were surrounding Yerushalayim until Chel Paro Yatsami Mitzrayim, until the Babylonians heard of the advance of Paro's armies. Vayishmu hakasi matzirim al Yerushalayim et shim'am v'yalu me'al Yerushalayim. And then, the Babylonians temporarily abandoned their siege of Yerushalayim. So it looks like things will be okay. Tzidkiyahu, king of Yehuda, sure hopes so. However, as Yirmiyahu warns the nation at this time, Mitzrayim is not as dependable as she seems. She won't be the path to salvation. Yirmiyahu forecasts that the army of Paro, who seemed to be coming to the aid of Yehuda, will ditch her at her time of need and return to Mitzrayim. In Pasuk Zayin in Yirmiyahu Lamed Zayin, Kol Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Kotam Ro'el Melch Yehuda, Hasholech Etchem Elai L'Darsheni. Say this to the king of Yehuda who sent you to me to seek me out. Hinei Chel Paro Hayotzei Lachem LeEzra, Shav LeArtzel Mitzrayim. Paro's army, who came out to help you, will return to their land, to Mitzrayim. V'shavu HaKastim V'Nilchamu Al Hayir Hazot. And the Kastim, Bavel, they'll return to attack the city. Ulachaduha usrafuha ba'ish, and they'll capture it and burn it. So Yirmiyahu warns that Tzidkiyahu is grasping at straws in his desperate embrace of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim will leave you at your time of need. The imagery our Perek uses to describe Mitzrayim's lack of dependability is mishenet kaneh, a staff, something you can lean on, that is in fact made of a mere reed. A reed may look straight and tall, but is wobbly and it bends. It can't offer support, and that's Mitzrayim. Looks like something you can depend on, but you can't. V'yad'u kol yoshvei Mitzrayim, ki ani Hashem, ya'an heyotam mish'enet kaneh levei Yisrael. And the inhabitants of Mitzrayim will know that I am Hashem, because they acted like a reed of support for Beit Yisrael. This particular analogy to a reed-like mish'enet is actually no accident. It borrows from the topography of Mitzrayim. Reeds were plentiful around the Nile. Egypt was known for them. The economic might of Egypt came from that river. But Yecheskel is saying that its military power, its protective capacity, is no greater than one of the Nile's wobbly reeds. Egypt has actually been described this way as a reed-like staff before. In the generations before Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel, back in the days of King Chizkiyahu of Yehuda. At the time, Ashur was threatening the kingdom of Yehuda. And Rabshakeh, a messenger from the king of Ashur, haughtily warns Chizkiyahu not to trust Egypt as a potential ally against him. Here's Yeshayahu, Perek Lamed Vav, giving Rabshakeh's words. Ata al mi vakachta, ki marada tabi. Hine vakachta al mishenet hakaneh harotzutz hazeh, al Mitzrayim, asher yisamech ish alav uva b'chapo nekava, kein paro melech Mitzrayim l'chol habotrim bo. You wrongly relied on the bending, reed-like stick Mitzrayim. Yeshayahu goes on to say that the tip of the reed is sharp. So when you put your hand down on it, hoping to lean on the stick like a staff, it will instead stab you with its pointy tip. The reed not only won't support you, it will end up causing you pain. Your attempt to lean on it will end up wounding you. In fact, the roots of the wobbly staff, Mashal from Mitzrayim, goes back even further in history, long before the days of Chizkiyahu. Think of Bnei Israel's first encounter with Mitzrayim. Think of Yetziat Mitzrayim. There too, we encounter the symbol of a staff that turns wobbly. It happened back at the Sneh, the burning bush, when Hashem gives Moshe three signs. The first of them involves a staff. Hashem says, take your staff and cast it to the ground, and it will become a snake. Moshe does so and recoils in horror at the snake. Hashem then tells him not to be so scared, that he is to grab hold of the snake's tail, and it will become a strong, sturdy staff once again in his hand. Later, Hashem will command Moshe and Aaron to perform a version of this sign in Paro's palace. There, Aaron casts down his staff and it becomes a tanin. All the sorcerers of Paro then cast down their staffs too, and they recreate the illusion. Their staffs seem to become taninim as well. Hashem seems to be teaching Moshe that appearances can be deceiving. Here's your staff. It's a regular staff, right? Well, I can make it look like something totally wobbly. And then, actually, grab hold of it, and you'll realize that it's really a sturdy staff after all. Coming back to Sefer Yecheskel then, the vivid image of the Mishenet Kaneh seems eerily similar to the ancient sign of the Matan Asher Nepach Lenachash. As a matter of fact, when you really think about it, this symbol in Yecheskel is really the mirror image of its antecedent back in Yetziat Mitzrayim. The staff that Moshe held was in fact a true staff. It just could create the illusion of being something wobbly. On the other hand, Mitzrayim in Yecheskel's day was actually a reed, something wobbly. It's just that it could create the illusion of being something sturdy. And that's why Mitzrayim in Yecheskel's days was so dangerous. It was an ally that wasn't really an ally. It looked like you could count on Mitzrayim, but you couldn't. All Egypt's power was good for was a distraction from the truth. Israel didn't have allies that were truly willing to help them. The kings of Yehuda needed to face up to that reality and not take the easy way out, giving in to illusions. Their only real hope of salvation lies in staying true to Hashem, the true king who is dependable. Truthfully, this connection between Yecheskel Chavtet and Yetziat Mitzrayim, we weren't the first ones to pick up on it, because our Perek, Perek Chavtet in Yecheskel, just happens to be the Haftorah of Parshat Va'era, one of the key parshiyot that describe Yetziat Mitzrayim. The concept of Haftorah was developed as a replacement for reading directly from the Torah at times of religious persecution. The Haftorah was meant to replace the reading of the Parsha during these precarious times. The strategy of the compilers of the Haftorahs was to choose parts of Nach that echo the language and themes in the Parsha, and our Perek does exactly that. But the truth is, the connections between our Perek in Yecheskel and Yetziat Mitzrayim go deeper than just the staff, the mishenet that goes wobbly. There are a whole slew of connections between Yecheskel, Perek Chavtet, and how we left Mitzrayim. We will see them as we begin to make our way through the psukim of the Perek. Let's take a look at some of these psukim in our Perek, and as you listen to them, watch out for echoes from Parsha Va'era. Here are some psukim, beginning with Pasuk Bet. Ben Adam, si panecha al Paro melech Mitzrayim, v'hinavei alav al Mitzrayim kulo. Turn toward Paro and prophesy. Daber v'amarta, kol amar Hashem Elokim, hidini alecha Paro melech Mitzrayim, hatanim hagadol, habovitz betoch yorav, asher amar, li yoroi v'ani asitiv. Hashem says, I'm turning against you, Paro, the giant Tanim, who claims to have created the Nile. V'natati chachim bilchayecha, v'hidbakti degat yorecha b'kaskazotecha, v'haliticha mitoch yorecha, v'et kol degat yorecha b'kaskazotecha tidbak. I'll catch you and I'll pull you out of the water with the fish from the river hanging onto you. V'natashtich hamidbara, utcha v'et kol degat yorecha, al pnei hasadeti po. Lo tase v'loti kabeitz l'chayat ha'aretz ilo'uf ha'shamayim netaticha lo'ochla. And I'll leave you all to die in the desert. V'yidu kol yoshvei Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem ya'an heyotam mish'enet kaneh l'vei Yisrael. And you will all know that I am Hashem punishing you for being a mish'enet kaneh for Bei Yisrael, for the Jewish people. So as we read the psukim, did you catch anything reminiscent of Parsha Va'era? Well, in those psukim from Yecheskel, we heard of a tanim. And we talked about something almost the same, a tanin in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. There, v'amarta el Aaron, kach et matcha v'ashlech lifnei Paro yihi l'tanin. And you should say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Paro, and it will become a tanin. V'yashlech Aaron et matcha lifnei Paro lifnei avada v'yihi l'tanin. And at the time, Aaron threw his staff down before Paro and before his servants, and it became a tanin. And here in our Perek, the tanin is back in the form of a tanim. Paro likens himself to God in the form of a tanim. He dreams he is a sea monster the one who is responsible for making the Ya'or, the Nile itself, Lioruri Vanyasitif. In a way, this illusion is something we saw earlier with Paro as well. If you recall, the Midrash talks about Paro, who enslaved the Jews, as arrogantly thinking about himself as God, going into the Nile early in the morning to go to the bathroom, to hide his humanity, to keep up the illusion of his godliness. These two Paros seem to have a lot in common. Some things don't change too much. Getting back to the Psukim, let's take a look at how God responds to this Tanim, this Paro and his illusions. God says that he will catch Degat Yorecha, the fish of the sea, in the scales of this Tanim, and they'll be lifted out together with the Tanim itself. The Degat Yorecha, the fish of the sea here, remind us of an image back in Yetziat Mitzrayim. Back in the first plague, the plague of blood, Dam, right after the story of Aaron's staff and the Tanim, the Nile turns to blood and all the fish of the river die. Going back to Yechezkel, which compared the Paro of the time to a Tanim, a great sea creature, well, look what Yechezkel says will happen to this Tanim next. Unutashticha hamidbara, otcha ve'et kol degat yorecha al pnei ha'sadeh tipol. This sea creature, along with all the fish, is thrown out of the midbar without any water. A fish out of water, to quote the title of the children's book by P.D. Eastman, which my kids loved. Clearly, a fish out of water will die. Well, that reminds us of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Not the beginning of it, but the end of it. When, after all, did Mitzrayim get cast out of the water to die on the shorelines? Isn't that exactly what happens to the Egyptians at the time of the Kriyat Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea? Bayar Yisrael and Mitzrayim met al Sfat Hayam. Yisrael saw the Egyptians dead on the shore of the sea. The dead bodies of the Egyptians were cast on the shores of the sea. And here's one more connection between Yechezkel and Hashem saving Bnei Yisrael from slavery centuries earlier. In Yechezkel, the Psukim teach us that the destruction of this Tanim, representative of Paro, will teach the knowledge of God to the Egyptians. V'yad'u kol yoshvei Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem ya'an heyotam mish'enet kaneh levei Yisrael. And you will all know that I am Hashem punishing you for being a mish'enet kaneh for the Jews. And of course, knowledge of God, v'yad'u, the Psukim of Yetziat Mitzrayim constantly emphasizes. We hear about it in connection with the first plague, the plague of blood. Kolomar Hashem, b'zot teida ki ani Hashem, hinyanochmi makeh b'mateh asher b'yadi al hamayim, asher b'ya'or v'nevchu ladam. With this you will know that I am God, with the hitting of my stick against the water and turning it to blood. And we hear about it at the splitting of the sea. V'yadu ki ani Hashem Elokim, and they will know that I am Hashem, I am God. As we continue to read our parak in Yechezkel, the connections to the events of Yetziat Mitzrayim don't go away. Here, for example, is Yechezkel describing what happens when Israel tried to hold on to the staff of Mitzrayim that is really a pointy reed. B'tofsam b'cha tirotz uvakata lahem kol katev v'yashanam alecha tishaver. While they were holding you, you shattered and pierced their shoulder. You broke while they were leaning on you. That word bakata is familiar to us from the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Here's that word centuries earlier at the Yam Suf. Vata harim et matcha unete et yadcha al hayam uvka'ehu yavo bnei Yisrael betol hayam v'yabasha. And you raise your staff, Moshe is told, and extend your hand over the sea and it will split. And bnei Yisrael will come into the land, into the sea on dry land. Et hayam l'charava v'yibak'u hamayim. The sea was turned into dry land and the water split. And speaking of charava, that word for dry land, as we continue to read Yechezkel, we hear that word too. Lachei hinini lecha ve'el yorecha natati et eretz Mitzrayim l'charvo choresh. I will turn against you and the river, and Egypt will be totally destroyed. What stands out in all these connections is a broad overriding theme. Yechezkel, in Perek Chaf Tet, prophesizes that Mitzrayim will be brought low, just as the Mitzrayim of old was humbled. Or, to put it another way, Yechezkel is saying, Egypt might look mighty to you now, but the way you see them now is not the way you will see them in the future. In the words of Yechezkel, Bina mamlachot tiyi shvela, Mitzrayim will become a second-rate power. V'lo titnase od al hagoyim, v'him atim levilti redot bagoyim. They will never again be raised up over the nations of the world. And therefore, v'lo ye'od levei Yisrael mivtach, you won't see them as your security as you've seen them before. You will no longer see Mitzrayim in the way you've seen them before. In a way, Yechezkel is saying what happened at the very end of Yitziat Mitzrayim will happen once again. Back then, as Paro gets closer in his chase after the escaping Jews, Moshe reassures them and says, Al tira'u ki kasher ra'itam et Mitzrayim hayom, lo tosifu liratam od ad olam. Don't worry, the way you see the Mitzrayim today, you will never see them again, ad olam, ever. And so it was. Soon enough, Bnei Israel look back and see Mitzrayim dead on the seashore. They're all decimated. In the times of Moshe, Israel looked at Mitzrayim as an enemy, but they were promised they would be free of this enemy, that Egypt would never threaten them the same way again. In the days of Yechezkel, Israel looked upon Egypt as an ally. Tzidkiyahu sees Mitzrayim as his ticket to salvation from Babel. But once again, Bnei Israel hear that the way you see Mitzrayim today, you will never see them again. No longer will Mitzrayim threaten you with their false promises. They will be brought low, and you won't be tempted by them again. What was that temptation? Well, the nation in Yechezkel's days, at the time of the siege, were asked to turn to Hashem for their salvation. They needed to turn to God, just as the Jews back in Mitzrayim at the time of Yom Suf had to. The message is, lean on God. He is the one and only Mishene that is worth leaning on. By taking away the temptation to lean on Mitzrayim, God's helping us. You know what they say, if you're on a diet, don't keep junk in the house. By subjugating Mitzrayim, God takes the junk out of the house. No more junk in the junk drawer. Now we can make some good choices, eat healthy food, or in this case, trust in God as our salvation. The parak ends with a note of encouragement to the people of Bnei Israel. Bayomahu atzmiach keren l'Bnei Israel. On that day, I will cause the redemption of Bnei Israel to sprout, to begin to grow. It is a sentence that we memorialize every day when we say Shemone Atzrei. Baruch atah Hashem, matzmiach keren Yeshua. We seem to be saying that this day, when Hashem humbled Mitzrayim a second time, that is a day that will be a renewal of the reign of Bnei Israel. Notice that our tefillah takes the words of Yechezkel, Atzmiach keren l'Bnei Israel, and slips in a new word, Matzmiach keren Yeshua. That word Yeshua, it is reminiscent of our original victory of Mitzrayim, when Yitziat Mitzrayim ended with the words, Vayosha Hashem b'yom ahu, God saves us on that day from Mitzrayim. God saved us from our enemies, and God will save us in the future from false friends, from the temptation to, out of weakness, lean on vacillating nations not really committed to our vision. Bnei Israel will once again gain the strength to lean only on Hashem. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishma, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.